بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث number 240 of عمدة الأحكام. جابر بن عبد الله, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father, narrated that we came with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pronouncing talbiyah for Hajj. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us to make our ihram into that of Umrah. Question: what were they performing?
They were performing Hajj Ifrad.
They were performing Hajj Ifrad. How did you know?
Because the Hajj Ifrad has got no Umrah in it.
It has the answer in the hadith. He said, we pronounced talbiyah for Hajj. If they were doing tamattu', he would have said, we pronounced the talbiyah for Umrah to the Hajj. And if they were having the intention of Qiran, they would say, we offered or pronounced the talbiyah for Umrah and Hajj. So this is the difference. So Jabir is telling us, Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, is telling us that we pronounced the talbiyah of Hajj. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make it Umrah. So now it changed from Hajju Ifrad into Hajju Tamattu', because they will make their Umrah, cut their hair, wear the normal clothes, do everything that needs to be done. Moving on to the following hadith. Hadith number 241, narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father. He said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions reached Mecca, assuming ihram for Hajj, on the fourth day of the Hijjah, the Prophet ordered them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform Umrah with that ihram instead of Hajj, meaning that their ihram is for Hajj. So the Prophet told them, flip it into Umrah. They ask, O Prophet of Allah, what kind of finishing the ihram after we finish Umrah? What kind of being halal? Is it limited to this or that? The Prophet said, finish the ihram completely, meaning return back to your halal state as if you did not offer ihram, meaning everything can go. Of course, everything that is halal, one hears this and says, you can do everything you did not do when you were muhrim. So I can drink, I can smoke. No, these are haram things. We're talking about the things that are restricted for a muhrim to do. And this hadith, we learned that when they arrived to Mecca, it was the fourth of the Hijjah. So they had about 4 days of living normal life, not in the state of ihram. And the following hadith, hadith 242, this was narrated by Urwah ibn Zubayr, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He said, Usama, may Allah be pleased with him, Usama ibn Zayd, was asked in my presence, how was the speed of the camel of the Prophet والسلام, while departing from Arafat during the Hajjatul Wada'? Usama replied, the Prophet والسلام, proceeded on with a modest pace. And when there was enough space, he would make his camel go very fast. Now, what do we understand from this? We understand that the sunnah of the Prophet والسلام, is not to harm others, is not to hasten in moving from one place to the other on the account of others. As we see the people nowadays in Hajj, we see people trying to push one another, trying to reach their destination ahead of others, as if this is what Hajj is all about. And this is wrong. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, pushing forcefully during Hajj is not part of piety. It is not part of piety to be the first. The first is the one who Allah accepted his Hajj. And that is why from Arafah to Muzdalifah, when the sun sets, people move, all of them in their millions, from Arafah to Muzdalifah. Usama ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, explains to us and describes to us how the Prophet used to ride his camel. He said the Prophet used to ride in a very slow pace. Why? Because of the crowd. And the minute there was an opening and there is no crowd, he used to let go for the camel to run quickly or to run in a fast pace. But whenever there were people, he would slow down. From this, we learn how ignorant people are in Hajj. Nowadays, only few vehicles are allowed to come in Hajj. And unfortunately, the way they drive is reckless. They're surrounded by hundreds of thousands and millions of pilgrims, yet they drive as if they own the road. Likewise, those on motorcycles, they do not pay any attention. They might harm someone, they might run over someone, they might hit someone. All of this for the cause of reaching Muzdalifah ahead of the people. And then what? This is Hajj. You're supposed to get closer to Allah, not to do these things that harm others. Now in the following hadith, hadith number 243, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped during the farewell pilgrimage at Mina for people who had something to ask. So the Prophet in that occasion designated some time to answer the people's queries and questions. A man came and said, "O Prophet of Allah, I didn't notice I shaved before sacrificing." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Now sacrifice the animal and there's no harm on you." Another man came up and said, "O Prophet of Allah, I did not notice I sacrificed before throwing the pebbles." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Throw the pebbles and there is no harm for you." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not asked about anything which had been done before or after its proper time, but he said, "Do it and no harm is there for you." Now, the Prophet was asked about the actions on what day? On the day of An-Nahr, on the day of slaughtering, on the day of Eid. Now you have to learn the sequence, the order. You go to Mina on Yom At-Tarwiyah, which is the 8th of the Hijjah. What is the meaning of Yom At-Tarwiyah? It's the day that the people prepare for Arafah, Muzdalifah and Mina by watering their camels. So Tarwiyah meaning watering their camels. So they make their camels full of water so that it would not need to drink. They go and pray five times or five prayers. This is the Sunnah in Mina. They pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr of Arafah. They shorten the prayers. So Dhuhr, Asr and Isha are prayed two rak'ahs. Combine? No. They pray each on time. After Fajr, they go to Arafah. And after Dhuhr, they enter Arafah and they spend the day there supplicating, making dhikr. They pray Dhuhr and Asr combined at the time of Dhuhr. Two rak'ahs, Dhuhr, two rak'ahs Asr with an adhan and iqamah for both. And then after sunset, everybody goes and moves to Muzdalifah, which is not very far away. It's walking distance, but it would take you sometimes like 35, 40 minutes, depending on the pace you're walking. And they spend the night in Muzdalifah. But as soon as they arrive, they pray Maghrib, three rak'ahs, and they join Isha to it, whether they come before Isha or after Isha. But they have to pray it combined, and they should not delay it until the middle of the night. Because if they are on the road and it's close to middle of the night, they must pray it wherever they are, even if they did not reach Muzdalifah. Once they reach Muzdalifah, the sunnah is to spend the night there and to rest, because the following day they have a lot of things, a lot of activities to do. Once they pray Fajr, they leave. Can they leave before Fajr? Only for the women and the children. The Prophet gave permission for the elderly, for the women, for the children and for the men accompanying them. So if I have my wife, I don't tell my wife, you go, I'm strong, I will stay. No, I have to go and accompany my wife. So they leave and reach Mina. The first thing they begin with is throwing the pebbles. How many pebbles do they throw? 3? 7? This is what we'll find after the break, so stay tuned.